Bill Flores joins us this morning in studio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Now, you were in, the reason you're in the area, you actually had a hearing of your subcommittee that you chair up in Waco on the Baylor campus yesterday. And if folks don't know about that, what was the purpose of it?
Well, let me back up a little bit. Yeah. Every now and then, the committees do have what are called field hearings. And I'm the chairman of the Economic Opportunity Subcommittee of the Veterans Affairs Committee. And we had a hearing on Monday in Riverside, California, which is where Mark Tocano, the ranking member of the subcommittee, is from. And then we had one yesterday in Waco at Baylor. And we had five private sector employers come and talk about hiring veterans and what they'd like to see the GI Bill do and see the federal government do. We had four higher ed institutions, including A&M and Baylor. And then we had two state agencies. We got some of the best feedback that you could have ever imagined. It's one of the best hearings I've ever been to. The ones in Washington are typically a little too stiff. The information flow has some friction in it. But we had a great free-flowing discussion yesterday.
Now, these are in somewhat, they're pretty well programmed in that you know who the speakers are going to be ahead of time. Is that basically right?
That's correct. Actually, what we do is we invite the speakers. We try to get a cross-section of who we think would be helpful in terms of feedback to Congress so that we could go back and fix employment opportunity pieces of legislation so they better fit what veterans need. And, yeah, we pick the employers. We try to get a cross-section of small employers to larger employers. I mean, we had Home Depot and Caterpillar there, but we also had Ride Scout, which is a company in Austin. We had Cognizant, whose consulting company, whose U.S. headquarters is here in College Station. And then we had Dwyer Group, which has a large franchising operation in Waco. So it was great feedback from all five of those folks.
Well, talk about it also maybe from the standpoint of they also, in addition to the job market, they want some educational opportunities as well. Now, is that discussed during this as well?
It was. We had Texas A&M and Baylor and McLennan Community College and Texas State Technical College each testify about a few things. One is what they do individually, so they're each trying to tout their individual programs. And I have to say, those four institutions are doing a great job for the veterans in District 17, the surrounding area. But then they also talked about the deficiencies in the GI Bill, or the ways that the GI Bill could be structured to make it better. Again, as I said, Congress never gets a piece of legislation right when they pass it the first time, so you continually have to modify it so it fits real-world circumstances, and that's what we learned yesterday.
Sure. Bill Flores joined us this morning in studio. Okay, so you're in Riverside on Monday, and then you were in Waco Tuesday. Do you travel as a group? Does the committee travel as a group?
Well, not really. We all traveled individually. We wound up in the same spots, but okay. No, we travel individually.
Well, I didn't know, because obviously that can be a time for some interchange and communication. Communication, which is sadly lacking sometimes in D.C.
It could be, but we all came from different areas, so we wound up in Riverside together, and then we traveled in. I had to come back to College Station, so I went through Houston. The rest of them went through Dallas-Fort Worth and wound up in Waco.
Sure. Okay, you're back in D.C. when?
On Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday afternoon.
What's on the agenda?
Well, next week we're going to be starting to talk. We'll continue the hearings and the oversight over Obamacare. But then we're going to start into a bunch of job-related measures tied to energy. And one of the bills we'll be talking about next week and into the following week when it should be on the House floor is my bill that deals with the regulation of hydraulic fracturing. One of the things that's happened in the country is we're having a manufacturing renaissance because we've got affordable, abundant, clean natural gas. And so we lost a lot of manufacturing jobs the last few decades, and now they're coming back because of this energy boom that we're having. And if we regulate hydraulic fracturing the wrong way, then all of a sudden those manufacturers, you lose the gas, and then the manufacturing jobs stay overseas, and they don't come back.
What is it that causes, I mean, understand we've got energy, and like you say, we're producing a ton of natural gas right now. But just because of energy, why does that necessarily draw jobs back into the United States?
Well, because energy is one of the key economic inputs to an economy. You've got labor, you've got intellectual property, you've got capital, you've got the ability to get your resources like land so that you can build, but also energy is one of the key economic inputs. And so if you have abundant, affordable, clean energy, then that gives you an advantage when you're seeking to set up a manufacturing operation. Nucor Steel is a great example right here in District 17. They take old steel and they recycle it into new steel, and they have a big facility up in the northeastern part of this district. And the reason they're successful at this is because they have cheap electricity that is fueled by attractively priced natural gas.
More than a dozen Democrat senators went to meet with the president for 2 hours yesterday. They're uncomfortable.
Well, they should be.
Now, does that shed a different light? Obviously, the Republicans are going to be a group that are going to want to have changes in Obamacare, for anything from postponing for a year or 6 months, whatever the personal option. But how do you see that meeting changing the way things are going to be played in Washington in the coming weeks?
I don't know that it will, because this is the president's signature piece of legislation, and I don't think he wants to see any more changes to it. He's already embarrassed by it, and I think he would. It looks to me like he's gotten his neck pretty stiff about this, so I don't see him wanting to do any changes. On the other hand, you've got a lot of Democrats in the Senate, a lot of Democrats in the House. They're starting to say, hey, you know, it makes sense to delay this for a year, delay the individual mandate. If you think about what the real fight was over the shutdown of the government, it wasn't to defund Obamacare anymore. I mean, that we lost that battle and we moved on, or to delay all of Obamacare for a year. That battle was lost and we moved on. We had two things. We were trying to delay the individual mandate because we knew it wasn't ready for prime time. And, you know, all the problems lately have shown that. And the second thing was to make sure that Congress and the White House were subject to the same Obamacare as the rest of America. That's what the fight was about. And it looks to me like we're going to wind up getting both of those pretty quickly, because you've got enough senators that want to talk about changing it, and you've got enough House members that want to talk about changing it. And, of course, we as Republicans in the House were there on both of those. We'd like to do both those things.
Well, again, obviously we didn't have more than a dozen senators in there who were obviously scared about their jobs. They think they may lose their jobs over this. Boy, if you ended up with Republican control in the House and the Senate and a Democrat president, that'd pretty well logjam everything for the last 2 years of the Obama administration.
Well, I think it would do more than logjam. We'd see some positive change, because we wouldn't be able to pass any legislation to, for instance, repeal Obamacare and replace it with something new. But what you could do is you change the funding for everything in the federal government. And the purse strings, to the extent you can't change the law, you change the way laws are implemented by starving the bureaucrats that implement them. There's nothing as ineffective as a starving bureaucrat. And so when you change the funding model by reducing funding for some of the agencies that are involved in all these egregious activities, then all of a sudden life gets better for America.
Sure. Anything else out there on your radar screen?
Well, we've got a couple of Veterans Day ceremonies coming up on Monday. I'm going to be speaking in Pflugerville, and then I'll be back here in the afternoon to speak at the Bryan College Station Veterans event. A&M has received a large federal grant that news will be released today at 11 o'clock. I'll be there for that. And, of course, we're going to honor our 8th Aggie Medal of Honor winner this afternoon as well.
Yep, absolutely. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays or Thursdays sometimes, but you can hear the interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for coming in and being with us this morning.
Great to be with you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Thanks a lot.